Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
What a great way to start our afternoon with Ndoko Ozombambo. I love the Lord. A very good afternoon to you and happy, happy Wednesday. But I think what's more important is to say Merry Christmas. Oh man, it is a Wednesday. And as you know, I never start Wednesdays solo. I never fly solo. So I've got Pastor B. Moyo with me. Fudisi, good afternoon and welcome.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, Sis Luko, and greetings to the listeners at home, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho! Oh, man, it's a very special time for us as the Christian community.
Amen.
In spite of all, obviously, the theories that have been
said,
a couple of weeks ago, I saw somebody had posted, you know, these theories, obviously, about Santa Claus and whatnot.
Yes.
Somebody, a Christian guy, shared and he said, okay, let's first correct, get the real story. Don't get all these other stories.
Amen.
He was actually a Christian guy that loved gifting people. So
let's
not lie because we want to try and discourage people.
Amen.
Of course, people waste money during the season. But
again,
I mean, is it really a waste of money? It's just a once-off thing that we get to do.
Yes.
I think it's all on the wisdom on how you do it.
Amen.
Do you have money to spend or don't you?
Amen.
If you don't, then don't spend. If you do, then hey,
have a great time.
You know?
Amen.
But I believe, Mfundi, so you also know much more deeper about, you know, the birth of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, because for us, that's what it is.
Amen.
We celebrate our birthdays all the time. Is it really so wrong to celebrate, you know, the birth of Christ?
Amen.
It's
amen.
Not a
There's nothing
thing.
Wrong with that, actually. But we need to understand the essence and the purpose of it. What it really did for us as the children of God. Today we are called His children, and it all started from the birth.
The birth of
before
Jesus
the
Christ.
Death and the resurrection of Jesus, but it all started from
the birth
of Jesus Christ.
So we need not lose it, you know, in the middle and the festivities.
Amen.
Remember the real purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
We must understand and remember the real purpose behind that, lest we also celebrate like the world does.
Exactly.
You know, there's nothing to be excited with the day. Of course, there are myths around the day that Jesus was not born on the 25th, exactly. But I choose to ignore all those things.
Exactly.
I want the gist. You understand?
Just to observe His birth, whether or not He was born on the 2nd or the 5th, it's really immaterial.
It's immaterial to us because that doesn't change anything.
Mm.
What changes everything is that He was given unto us, a child is born, and a son is given to us.
See what I love about you? We don't really focus on all these unimportant things.
No.
At the end of the day, at some point, we've just got to remind the brethren that He was born for a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
I love the son of the... Okay, Felicity, straight to you then.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sis Luko. Maybe if we can read from the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6.
Okay, so the book of Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost."
Amen. Matthew 1, verse 21.
And it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Mm. And then Isaiah 9, verse 6.
And then Isaiah 9, 6 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace." And that's the scripture.
Amen. Mm. Amen. So today is Christmas Day.
Mm.
Today we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
But like I said, to me, it's more than the day, whether it was the 25th or not.
Mm.
But I would like to acknowledge what that day, whether it was in March or in April, it doesn't matter to me.
Mm.
But I want to acknowledge the fact that when he was born,
mm-hmm.
actually was born for a purpose.
Yeah,
you know, he was given unto us, unto us. Isaiah says, Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Hey.
Mm. So there are two things that we need to grasp here and underline. Can it be that a child and a son at the same go is birthed and given at the same time?
All right.
You understand?
Yep.
So now here are two processes of biology being mixed and go hand in glove at the same time.
Mm.
A child and a son, they are given unto us within the same parameters, within the same time.
Mm.
Now we need to now extrapolate now and be able now to differentiate now. Why would Isaiah say it?
A child is born.
But when it comes to a son is not born, is given.
Oh, this is interesting.
You see, so a child is born, but a son is given unto us.
Okay.
Because a child has to be given birth to a woman called Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a son, Jesus remains the Son of God.
Okay.
He doesn't change.
Mm.
He's a child born to us.
All right.
From the womb of a woman.
Okay.
From a womb of a human being.
Mm.
So that's where the childness comes in.
Okay.
But when it comes to the sonship, Jesus is not a child.
Oh.
He is still a son of God.
Yeah. Okay.
You see, so now he is God incarnate.
Mm, sure.
So he's God incarnate.
So basically we are given God.
We are given God.
Sure.
You see, because the process that God actually devised was that if one has to operate, or if God has to fully operate in this world, he must operate through a man. Remember in the book of Genesis, God gave full dominion and authority and rulership to man.
To man. Mm.
And he says, I've created everything for you.
Mm.
I've planned and prepared everything for you.
Mm.
Now dominate, rule, and reign.
Mm.
In other words, I give you a free will of making proper decisions.
Sure.
Provided you are in me and I am in you.
Okay.
Provided you are in this garden called Eden, the presence of God.
Mm.
This garden called Eden, the divine nature of God. As long as you are not separated from me, then you are created in my own image and likeness.
All right.
He says, let us create man in our own image and likeness.
Mm.
So in other words, this man shall become a ruler in this world.
All right.
But we take the throne and dominion in heavenlies, in heavenly places. That is why the Bible says, David saw this. He says, heavens are your throne. But the earth is your footstool. And the earth he has given it to the sons of men. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a shared dominion
which
God intended when he created man.
Mm.
So now we are going now. There's somewhere where I'm going.
Yes, please.
That's why I said I enjoy the fact that Jesus was born. Not the days, or whether it's in April or in March or in September. Yep. To me, it doesn't matter.
And even if you say it's in April, I'll come back and remind you in April.
Yes, I'll come back and remind you in April, because the purpose does not change because of the days.
Amen.
You see,
yeah.
So we are going back now to the Garden of Eden, where man was given everything, dominion, rulership, you understand?
Yep.
And authority to govern and rule this place called the world, this place called the earth. So now, but because of disobedience, God, remember what happened in Genesis chapter 2, just to run through, we are not going to delve deeper. I encourage listeners also to do their homeworks.
Read the word. That's why you're here, to say, I'm sharing the word with you, but learn to go and check the word yourself.
I saw another meme sometime. It's a parent, actually, writing a letter to the teacher.
Okay.
The teacher gives homework to the child, to the learner. And he says, go home and let your mother help you with this homework.
Okay.
Now the mother responds, he says, but I paid school fees
for you
in
to
full
teach him.
For you to teach him. Now you are exposing my ignorance now.
The thing about it, I could have kept him at home.
So I could have taught him by myself.
But
you understand?
Nothing.
So now you are again that problem that you said she or he must solve. I'm not able to solve. That's why I transferred the risk.
I love the sound of that.
You see,
I knew I wouldn't be able to handle it.
So now going back to our main subject. So God gives man the garden. He tilled it. He does everything. And there are trees that are growing there. Everything is in order. And then God places a man called Adam.
Okay.
He says to Adam, look, this is how I have envisaged this thing is going to happen. I'm not going to come and dwell in this garden.
Okay.
But in a sense, spiritually, because you are here, I'm also here. But I want you to manage this garden and govern it accordingly. But because God will always test obedience.
Ish.
God tests obedience. What cannot be tested cannot be trusted.
Cannot be trusted. Sure.
So he says to Adam, listen. I've created a lot of things here, and there are trees here, and you can eat any fruit from any of these trees, but there is a specific tree called the tree of life. It's in the center, in the middle of the garden. Please make sure you do not touch the fruit of this tree.
Oh, but greed, guys. Imagine you've given everything.
God says, you see all these trees. I'm trying to imagine. Probably it was more like thousands of trees. And then he says, this one don't touch. Curiosity killed the cat.
Curiosity wants that one.
The one that you say I must not.
Amongst all the other food in the house,
exactly.
You want that one that doesn't belong to you.
Exactly. It still happens even in our day and age. When we come to, I always say, look at the tithe. You know the tithes in this sense. Where God says, the 90% is yours. Do anything that you want. But that one 10%, that 10%.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. It's holy. It's mine. But it's also for your own good at the end of the day. You see, now God says, don't touch this one. The day you are going to eat from this fruit, you are going to surely going to die. Imagine you are told that there is death here, there is destruction here, you see. So now,
humans, of all things you want to test, you want to go test death.
Death, you see. So, but now, let's look at this way. The conversation is between God and Adam. So the accountability is on Adam. But Adam is no longer alone in this garden.
All right.
There is a woman that God has actually given Adam because he says it's not good
for a man to be alone.
Remember, everything that God created, you always say, wow, it is good. Everything he created, when he created trees, he looked at them and says, wow, it is good. Everything, it was good, except for one thing. In the whole creation, a man being alone, God said,
he questioned that.
This one is not good. I need to know. A man need to find somebody. You understand? Then the process goes on. Adam sleeps. God extracts Eve from Adam. From the immediately when he wakes up, he sees the Eve is there.
Yes.
Then he says, "This is the bone of my bones, the rib of my ribs." You understand? So, but then God never told Adam that this is your wife. But it came naturally to one day. I always teach about this when I'm on doing marriage seminars. You see, but let's fast forward on that. now everything else God says you can touch, you can eat. This one, don't touch, don't eat. Two things: don't touch,
don't eat.
You see, now Eve is there. She knows everything. The instruction, knows about it.
Though it wasn't given to her.
Given up to her, but she knows exactly. Now, the Bible says, in the garden, there was a cunning animal called a serpent. You see, in other words, a serpent was very deceptive.
Yeah.
You see, he had a spirit of deception. So now, the serpent doesn't go to Adam, the one who was given the instruction.
Yep.
The serpent always targets the one who is weak.
True.
Every time, or somebody who doesn't have full knowledge of what is happening.
But also, how is it that the weaker one had the power of convincing the husband? Because it's the weaker one, definitely weaker. It's the woman, but somehow she exercised the power to influence the stronger one.
That's why women are very influential. You see, and their influence has to be carefully harnessed.
Yeah.
They can. The influence of a woman can build, but also it can actually destroy.
Down. That's true.
So that's why the influence of a woman has to be well nurtured and well coached and supervised.
Otherwise, it
can, the same woman can actually destroy you. You see. So now fast forward, the serpent goes to the woman and tells the woman that, no, you know why God says you must not eat this. All of a sudden, he wants to resuscitate that conversation, which the serpent knows very well that this one has no full details. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. So the enemy targets the one who has less knowledge.
Cast aspersion on the one who doesn't have the full details.
Yes, you see. So now he says no. But now what is so surprisingly is that when God was giving Adam this instruction, we don't hear within the scenario or in the vicinity that the snake was there listening.
All right.
So this tells us something, that when God speaks to you, the devil also knows exactly what God has commanded you to do. He knows the conversation. That is why between the instruction or the command from God or the Holy Spirit to you as a believer, to the execution of the voice of God, in between there are voices here.
Of course.
That comes in and try to discourage what you heard from God.
Yep.
Sometimes those voices can come also to distort what God has said to you. The devil will always find means and ways. It's either put fear to say, no, this dream is too big for you. You didn't hear well.
Yeah.
You need resources. You need capital. You need 1, 2, 3. But yet God had already spoken to you.
Yep.
So in between here, there will always be those voices. So now Eve is found in between. And now she becomes the target of the in between. The voice and the command and the instruction was given. But in between here, then Eve decides to entertain the snake, entertain the evil one. You see, we are talking about Christmas. Let me also spiritually advise somebody from entertaining certain things during this festive season because of excitement. You see, because of excitement, the devil will come and say, but did God say alcohol is a bad thing? Did God say going out and
in the wrong, you understand?
Mm. And you know, waste a few thousands, is a provider, man. At the end of the day, is a you know how the devil comes. He's very cunning. He even shows you the opportunities of how you can recover this money.
Yay!
And after that, after you finish the money, he runs away. You are there alone. In the space, in the cold, you are frustrated, you are crying, you come back again crying to God. You see. So we are talking about the Garden of Eden, how we came about for Jesus to be born. Because we need to go back where it all began. How, why is a son, why is a child born and a son given? So that we are answering that question, that we lost it in the Garden of Eden.
So a child had to come.
So a child has to be given birth to via a human being, because God has given full dominion to man to run and rule the world. So that is why sometimes, even if God sees that you are in trouble, if you do not say anything, nothing will happen. Because God, before he mingles with your affairs, or before he comes into your problem, you must call. Call unto me in the days of your trouble. I, the Lord Almighty God, I will hear you from heaven, and I will deliver you, and you shall give me praises and worship.
Amen.
You see, but you have to call unto him. Call unto me in the days of your troubles. The question is, how, unkulunkulu, God, are you not seeing that I'm in trouble? I mean, you are the father. You should see that I'm already in trouble. Why can't you intervene quickly?
Maruga wabona, when you try to help someone and you can see they are in deep woods, and you try and rescue them, then they turn around once they've succeeded. I didn't ask you.
Huh? Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
it does happen.
Yeah, God has given man free will. God had, he gave man free will. So now, fast forward. Now, the woman manages to convince the husband somehow. You know, the spirit of influence.
Yeah.
The woman convinces the husband, they eat. All of a sudden, they discover that they are naked. Now the nakedness comes in. Now the shame comes in. The spirit of guilty comes in, because now what God had actually given them is now taken away from them.
The sheltering and the covering.
The covering has been taken away from them. Remember, the enemy cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil will never give you anything for free.
And I think it's a lie. That's what we don't realize when we live.
He will never give you anything for free.
Yeah.
That is why you find all these people who go out there, do rituals and whatnot, take whatnot and for wealth and whatever, these tangible things. And, you know, at the end of the day, they come back. Now they want deliverance. They want to throw away these things because now these things are harming them. You see, some of them are harming them.
Sure.
You see, so that's where we have a challenge. Now, after that, they go on a hiding. They go on a hiding. So man hides from God. Not God hiding from man.
And I'm actually, as you're speaking, I'm like, this is the place we put ourselves in when we live in sin.
Yes.
We suddenly see how naked we are.
Yes.
And when we should be running to God, We actually hide
because you feel I'm not worthy. You see, that's why even today you find many people can't even go to church because they have got shame on them. They feel like I'm not worth it. The devil always reminds them about their past, about their yesterday, that no, but you can't go and fellowship when you are at this state. First finish 1, 2, 3 and then go to God.
Yeah.
Whereas God says, come all ye who are heavy burdened. Come to me with all your burdens and I will give you rest. So God doesn't say finish first and then come be saved.
Come as a better person.
No. He wants you as you are. Then you will understand the power of salvation. That is why it's called salvation. This is what Jesus came to do.
Yep.
Hence, we saw it in the book of Matthew, Matthew 1 verse 18, that Jesus came to save the world from their sins.
Amen.
You see.
Sure.
So now, God comes, he knows there's a divine appointment with Adam and Eve. And now, because God has a covenant with Adam in the garden, not Eve. Still, the voice of God calls on Adam, the one who heard the instruction very well. Does it mean God didn't know that they had already sinned? No, he knew already. But because God is a God of commitment and consistency, now he goes to the place where they usually meet. At sunset, God will come down and mingle with men. Now he finds out that no, Adam is not in his position. He asks Adam, Adam, where are you? Today, that's the question that God still asks people, where are they? That's why Jesus came to respond to that question, to say, come to me. Come to me. Don't hide from me. Come to me.
Where are you?
Where are you? There are many people right now. I'm reviving them. You once had a thorough, tight relationship with God. You loved God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything, even with your substance.
Sure.
But for some reasons, there are things that happened along the journey of life. It could be that it's hurt that you people encounter within the premises of the church.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be the sins of men.
Mm.
You understand?
Yep.
So all those things can make people to hide from God, not God hiding from them.
Yeah.
Because even after they sinned, God still came to the position.
He still showed up.
He still showed up.
There's never a moment where he turned his face away from them
and say, no, I know what you have done. You are stubborn, hard-headed. You see for yourself.
Sure.
You know.
The Father still showed up.
He still showed up. And that's what God still does, even today. Sure. God still shows up.
Sure.
Irregardless of how people behave, or decide to conduct themselves within or outside the parameters of salvation. But God still shows up.
Sure.
God still shows up. So now God shows up. He asks them, Adam, where are you? And then, the voice of God, it can be loud even in silence.
But you know,
In your hiding, the voice of God, you know, the voice of God can actually come and extrapolate you and separate you and pick you from the club when you are drunk. While there is loud music, the voice of God can be louder than that speaker.
Sure.
All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can go in there and tell you, what are you doing here?
You're mispositioned.
That question, what have you forgotten who you are? Immediately, I'm telling you, you sober up, you go home. You see?
Yeah.
Or you become a boring friend to your friends who are wild and who live the worldly life. You understand?
You're actually reminding me, a friend said, when he got born again, He found the Lord in the most compromised position, and he says, "I still continue down to drink, but I tell you now, what a waste of my money! I wouldn't even get drunk." And
yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, "What's happening?"
Yes.
And the Lord said, "Come out of here."
Yeah.
He says, "That's the last time I held a bottle of beer."
True.
Because the Lord said, "No. Come out of here."
True. Sometimes others, the other one was giving me a testimony that, "Pastor, you know, even if I try to go and drink." I used to go leave the house around 6 and come back 6 in the morning. But I see that salvation has found me. Because by 9 or 10 already I'm dozing off.
I'm sleepy.
I'm sleepy and everything is boring. And all of a sudden I feel, you know, irritated about everyone and everything.
Yeah.
And immediately, even
home.
The people that I took them there, I go out as if I'm going to the loo.
And I'm gone.
Switch off my phone, I'm gone. And that's how we separated with friends. Then I decided, you know what? Now when I'm at church, I find peace. I feel it that this is my place to be. You see, so that's how God, the voice of God is very loud, even in your hiding.
It'll make you a misfit.
I'm telling you, the voice of God is so powerful,
It
can tell you to stop immediately what you are doing.
Mm.
You know, it can rebuke you without anyone else listening. Only you hearing that voice.
Hey.
You see.
Listen.
That's how powerful the voice of God is.
Yep.
So now, because God is benevolent, now there is a system that he devised. The Bible says he had to slaughter an animal immediately because they were covering themselves with leaves because of their shame.
Okay.
Now God slaughters an animal quickly. And now I want you to grasp this thing. There is no slaughter without blood.
All right.
There is no slaughter without blood. So God slaughters the animal quickly. So that blood represented redemption for Adam and Eve. As in the blood of Jesus. Today the Bible says we overcame the devil through the blood of the Lamb. You see, so the blood of Jesus becomes the blood of the new covenant, of which the old covenant is now absolute. Old covenant could not work for us. So God slaughters quickly an animal. So during the process of slaughter, there is no animal that doesn't have blood. As long as you are alive, life is in the blood.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible says. Life is in the blood.
Even a small mosquito's got blood. We all have blood.
We all have blood, you see. So he slaughters an animal. He takes that skin. He covers them. But now, because God wanted to actually show them that now the garden is a holy place. Now he says to them, now you are going to go out of the garden. You are not going to live in this garden. You see, so he says he chases them away from the garden, and then he orders an angel to guard
the garden,
the way, the door, or the way to the tree of life.
All right.
Because lest this man would have come again and went again to that fruit, you see. So the angel is assigned now to go there and guard the garden so that men cannot come back. But there were things that God said there, cursing the snake and cursing man in a way. Because initially God had prepared everything for men, such that even the fruits, men were supposed to just go there, you know, low fruits hanging, pick them up, eat. Now he says, no, it's not going to be like that anymore. You need to work for your food. You see, for a woman, he says, listen, woman, you are going to get pregnant, but you shall experience birth pangs, pains like nobody's business during childbirth. You see, and that word still stands even today. You see, so to somebody who says there is no God, then they are mistaken. God is there. Look at everything that God said in the Garden of Eden is still happening even today. You see, he says to the snake, you snake, from today, you shall no longer walk on feet. So which means snakes at that feet. Time had feet, you understand. But he says you shall crawl down and you shall eat the dust of the earth. And the seed of a woman shall crush your head. You see, the seed of a woman, that's a prophecy now about Jesus. The seed of a woman. So in other words, Jesus had to fulfill that prophecy. The seed of a woman. In other words, a woman shall actually give birth. And that, Jesus, when he's born, he shall crush your influence. You won't have influence anymore. You won't have upper hand anymore. You won't even have power anymore, because anything that has to do with Jesus crushes the head of the devil.
Amen.
Crushes the plans of the devil. Crushes anything, the plots of the devil. If the devil says no, you are going to fail, when you call upon the name of Jesus, you are saved. Immediately you pass.
Amen.
You see,
hence a child is born.
A child is born.
Sure.
So now the seed of a woman is a child that has to be born. You see.
Sure.
But a son is given unto us. This is where now the Bible says, who shall descend and ascend for us and redeem these people for us? Remember, God had tried several times, even raising the prophets. So that it becomes a system of reconciliation between man and God.
Yeah.
So that he can bring back man to him.
Mm.
You see. But that system did not actually work. You see. Men were rebellious by nature. Prophets came. They tried. They even prophesied everything. But still men were rebellious. You see.
Yeah.
Until now the heavens had to sit and say, the Trinity, to say, who shall go down for us?
The Son came up and said,
then the Son came up.
Ah, you understand? Mighty God.
That's why now the Son is given to us.
All right.
You understand? The Son is the one now who says, no, I'm here. If you need the blood, because salvation comes through the blood. The Holy Spirit does not have blood. I'm the one who has got the blood. So I will go.
So I am the gift to the people.
I'm the gift to the people now. You see. So that's why the Bible says in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. Because if God didn't love people, if God didn't love humanity, I can tell you right now, it would have ended there in the Garden of Eden. And God would have closed, if it's a company, would have closed it long time ago.
And it just simply wouldn't be worth it anymore.
Exactly. That's why as time went on in the Old Testament, at some point God regrets why he made man. He created man. He said, I regret. But the prophets had to come, because they negotiated with God. They were one with God. Say, but now if you are you as God, you are behaving like this. And you tell you like you want to kill everyone at one go. How are these people now going to see you as their God, as their savior? You see. And then God remembered again the covenant. You understand?
Yep.
But until now, the system could not work anymore. Until Jesus was given as a son to us now.
Sure.
To come and die. He was given birth as a child and die for us. In the name of Jesus. So God says, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, what? Son. Unto us a son is given. So to God, in God's view, Jesus was not birthed, because Jesus was already alive. In the beginning was the Word.
The word
was with God. And the Word was God. So in God's perception, Jesus was there from the beginning. And everything that was created through him and for him. In him was life. That life became the light of man. So Jesus already existed.
Without him was nothing.
But for us, in terms of us, so that now the covenant can be in sync, they can, so that there is this synergy of God and human, the reconciliation to happen. Jesus had to be given birth through a woman.
All right. Interesting.
You understand?
Yes.
And something that people don't understand, redemption comes through the blood. Anytime a woman gives birth, blood has to come out.
Amen.
You see. So we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus. But now today we are not there on the death of Jesus.
Yep.
We are on the birth of Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You see. So that's how everything. That's why we celebrate this day, because we understand the gist and the density and the purpose and the imperativeness of this day. That Jesus, we are who we are today because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
Three things. The birth, the death,
and
the resurrection of Jesus.
Sure.
You see. So today here we are in Africa. We are having this vast knowledge through the Spirit of God, because God gave his only Son for us, so that if we believe in him, we will not perish but have eternal life. So we are so blessed that we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. We have eternal life through Christ Jesus, such that even if we pass on in this world, we know that we are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see.
Because the Son was given to us.
Because the Son was given to us, so that he can save men from their sins. That is why he says, Paul says, he talks about the new covenant. He says, in this new covenant that I shall make with my people, the new covenant comes through Jesus Christ, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, I shall be their God, and they shall be a people unto me. Their sins, I will remember them no more.
Sure.
Now I'm talking to somebody who says, I have sinned a lot, Pastor. I don't think God can even hear my prayers, even myself. When I just the thought of praying, I remember things that I've done, ugly things that no one even knows about them. Listen, God knows about
them. Oh, he knows.
People might not know, but God knows. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent.
Amen.
There is nothing that God cannot see. God sees everything. So come to God. Come to Jesus. Let this day that we celebrate as the day of the birth of Jesus be the day of your rebirth as well.
Wow.
Let it be the day where you say, I received Jesus when I was listening to Sis Luko and Pastor Moyo explaining why Jesus had to be born so that he can save the world from death, so that he can save the world from their sins.
Amen.
So once you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, sin does not count to you no more. Listen, don't listen to people who preach guilty to people. Every time when you come from church, you feel the heaviness on your shoulders, in your heart, in your mind.
Because
you are guilty
about all your issues.
Because now they've pinpointed everything without a solution. No, Jesus knows about those things. That's why he died, so that he saves you. So that he saves you. And salvation is a process. I wish I had time, Sister Luko, so that we can discuss, you know, discuss salvation in broad, you understand, terms. That what is salvation? Does it mean when somebody raises their hand, say, and confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior, it means now they are perfect from there? Yes, they are perfect through Christ Jesus. But it might be that as you go and as you grow in the Lord, there are mistakes that you are going to make.
The attributes of your sinful nature that still come up.
God doesn't prune everything at once. That's why even to the children of Israel, says, I will take you to Canaan, but your enemies, I will not remove them, all of them at once. So that you can appreciate me. Yeah. I will remove it one by one.
Sure.
That's why people...
So you can be able to see my hand over your situation.
In your life, you can actually look back and say, yo, I was somebody who was too arrogant, too proud. But now, all of a sudden, people are seeing humility in me. Wow. So pride is gone. And you didn't know pride is gone. There are people who have anger by nature. They can even, I'm telling you, they can even sweat their nose when they are angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, but as they grow in Christ, because salvation is a process, you find out that person now, even if they are angered, the test will come where somebody will irritate them. Instead of fighting back or becoming their old self, who used to fight even physically, they will react differently. They will rather pack their bags and leave. Or they will rather leave the scenario or be quiet and say nothing.
Because their character is being molded.
Because now in the process, the Holy Spirit is taking over. Slowly but surely, somebody is being transformed.
Sure.
Somebody's being transformed, you know. So there's a lot that we can talk about when you receive Jesus. That's there's many things. So he saved people from sins, saved people from poverty, saved people from many things, you see.
Sure.
So receive Jesus.
Receive
Jesus. Jesus loves you, died for you, not anybody else. You are precious. That's why the Bible says you are wonderful and fearfully made by God.
So let alone his death and resurrection, Mfunsimoyo is saying, even his birth, the pure purpose of his birth was for your redemption.
Yes, because he was not going to die unless he was born.
Exactly. So all the other ones are important. But they are after effects of the start of the journey, the birth.
The birth of Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
That's where everything started from there. Sure. Because that's where the gospel was now preached. With clarity, you see. And many people started believing. And miracles, signs and wonders happened. And people began to see God differently now.
Yeah.
You know, where people, Jesus will find even the lame. And the Bible says he was moved by compassion and healed the lame.
Sure.
You know, so that's what God is a God who is compassionate, full of love, full of grace. You know.
Sure.
So his birth is actually the definition of grace, because grace actually is what God gave us, which we did not deserve.
When we deserved punishment.
You see, we did not deserve it to receive Jesus, let alone us who are Gentiles. Because remember, everything was about the Jews.
Yeah.
Until Jesus' death, then us
were
included as the Gentiles. You see, so now that's that. And then mercy spares us from what we deserved. That's why his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
So by receiving Jesus, you receive this mercy new every morning. What you deserve, God says, no, because of Jesus' birth, death and resurrection, you will never suffer this.
You escape.
You escape. So grace and mercy works hand in glove. But it all started through this day that we are celebrating today, the birth of many things.
Wow. Fundisi, we could go on and on today. Thank you so much for coming through. But I think we would have missed the mark if we did not close it off with just, you know, leading the saints to the Lord once again.
Amen.
Anyone wants to recommit their lives to the Lord, I will be praying after Mfundisi as well.
Amen.
I think it's very relevant for today for us to go back to the Father.
Amen. Amen. To the listeners at home, wherever you are, I would like us to pray right now. To those that are saved, consider it as a prayer of revival. To those that have not received Jesus as yet, this is your time.
Yep.
This is your day. This is your hour.
Mm.
You will remember this day that I was saved on Christmas Day when we were sitting as a family preparing for lunch or whatever with all excitement and everything that happens through this day of Christmas.
Mm.
Now let us pray. Pray after me and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Father, we just want to thank you for this powerful message, the message of salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior.
Mm.
That he died for me and he arose for me.
Yes.
And on the day he died, the Bible says we died together with him.
Mm.
And we are resurrected together with him.
Yes.
And seated together with him in highest places.
Mm.
Father, I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, I was saved. Thank you, Father, that I am saved today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that all my sins have been forgiven.
Yes, Lord.
Not some of them, all my sins have been forgiven. And therefore, I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone. Behold, a new life has begun. Today is my day of my rebirth.
Yes, Lord.
In Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as from today, my name has been erased from the book of death, but it has been written in the book of life.
Yes, Lord.
I am saved. I am a child of God. In Jesus' marvelous mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Until next week, God bless.
Amen.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.